Hello and welcome to New Every Day. My name is Jen and this is Jane. And on today's show, we're in session 3 of Money Matters. So stay tuned. Hi, and welcome back to New Every Day. And we are here with our friend Jane, who is in the financial industry, and she's been giving us some really great financial advice, godly financial advice, as far as how do we get out of debt. Mm-hmm. And so we ended it off last week with, we took account of all of our mm-hmm. spending. Then we figured out what the needs and the wants mm-hmm. were. And then, so here we are, how do I actually pay my bills? Like, how do I actually, you know, I get my paycheck now and mm-hmm. I figured out that this much money is going to Tim Hortons or to Dunkin' Donuts and this much money is going, you know, I stop at Walmart on the way home and pick up the chicken or whatever. So I'm like, okay, I've cleared through. I might even say I don't really need to get a new pair of clothes, like a new outfit every month. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I figured out what the needs and wants are, what the discretionary stuff is. Here's my paycheck. How do I actually get out of debt? Like, how do I actually order things?
That's a great question. And so now I'm going to speak strictly to believers right now. The order of things is you start by tithing.
What does tithing mean? I know what tithing means. I'm a pastor.
Like, wow, okay.
I was raised from a very small age to tithe. Mm-hmm. But for those of you that are brand new right. believers, or even, and this is strange because I have heard of some people who do not believe in God, but they still tithe. Like, they still give a portion of their money because mm-hmm. they feel like they should. Mm-hmm. So if I was to say to you, I love the fact that I'm the pastor and I get to ask these questions. If I was to say to you, tithe, mm-hmm. what are you talking about? How would you explain that?
I would say tithing is the first 10% of your income. Okay. So if it's the first 10%, that means that's the line before the government takes their tax, because it's the first 10%. So it's not based on what goes into your checking account, it's on your paycheck, that amount that you actually earned from your employer before all the deductions. That is where you start, and that is your 10%.
I totally agree with her, but I'm going to play devil's advocate for a minute. Just so you get both sides of the story. You don't think that we're leading you down like a strange path. Mm-hmm. So you're saying mm-hmm. you tithe on the gross amount, not on the net amount.
Correct.
Now, why would you make that choice? Because when I get my income tax statement back, can I just tithe on whatever it says?
No. Your income... No, you can't.
This is going to be good. I'm like, okay.
So let's go way back in Genesis.
Okay.
Chapter
18?
No, way before that.
Cain and Abel?
Yes. Chapter 4. Cain and Abel. So Abel, chapter 4, verse 4. Abel brought fat portions from the first born of his flock, and the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. Cain, in the course of time, brought his offering to God, which suggests in biblical language that when he got around to it, that's what he brought to God. So it was actually, I believe that is where the precedent is already set.
Because there's no government there.
Right. So this is before the law. So when people say that tithing is, you know, under the law and we are the new covenant Christians, I would argue actually Cain and Abel were before the law, and the precedent was already set then. Then it is further solidified in the story of Abraham.
Yes.
Where Abraham tithed. So, there's lots of different examples that we can use. But tithing is also one of the things that God in Malachi encourages us to test him in tithing. Test me in this, he says.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just read it. This is from Malachi 4. I'm reading from NIV. It says, I, the Lord, do not change. So starting to read it at verse 6. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Mm-hmm. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and vines in your fields will not cast their fruit. And the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It does say, test me in this.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Right. So if we want to get out of debt, we start with tithing.
Fair enough. I grew up with tithing, like right from the very beginning. So it's always been part of my mindset, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just don't worry about it. Like, I remember getting my first paycheck babysitting, like $10. And mom said, well, are you going to tithe on that tomorrow? And I was like, oh, it's only $10. I have to tithe on this. And she was like, yes. Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so right from the very beginning, it was instilled into me and my parents. Like, I can still remember the tithing envelope every week. Just mom, she would see how much she knew how much they made overall. And so she divided it out every week. So that is just what went. And then when there was a special call, and that's the difference, right, between tithes and offerings.
And a love offering.
Mm-hmm. Right? So the offering is above the 10%.
Correct.
So when so-and-so gets up at the front of the church and says, I'm going on a missions trip, that is not like...
That's not from your tithe.
No, is an offering. That's
correct.
The extra. Okay.
Yes.
So, because he's saying, Malachi is saying, the tithe goes to the storehouse, which is wherever you are going to church.
Right. And actually God said that the people were robbing him in tithes and offerings. And there are several different places in the Bible that God distinguishes between love offerings and the normal offering or tithe that the Israelites were to give. Mm. So God actually makes that distinction. And so as believers, we need to understand that as well, that there actually is a distinction between a tithe and an offering.
There is a distinction.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to pause right there. I want you to think about that. Because you might not have ever thought about that. What is tithing? What is the difference between a tithe and an offering? Or what do you mean I should be giving my tithe to the place that I go to church? What if I don't even like those people? Well, that's a totally different story.
Mm.
So we're going to break right there, and we'll come back right after this. So stay tuned.
Jeff Weston.
Yaman.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost, for just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on there. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Hi, and welcome back to New Every Day. We are so glad that you are sticking with us through this Money Matters series that we have going. And if you would like to support us financially out of the offerings portion of your paycheck, then we encourage you to go to neweveryday.tv and click on our sponsors tab. And there's lots of places there that you can support them, and they in turn will support us. Or if you want to make a donation, there should be a tab there as well that you can click on, and we would be so grateful for that. So before we went to commercial break, I made a little bit of a dig.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a pastor, people will often say, well, the treasurer will sometimes say, keep your eye on your finances, because even though the people number doesn't go down, if there's something wrong in your church, the finances start to go. And in my mind, I'm thinking, but why?
Because
that doesn't make sense, because you don't give because you're happy with what the church is doing. You give because of what God is calling you to give. And so it really talks about, and this goes right back to our session number one about surrendering our finances to the Lord so that he can do what he wants in this world that he has placed us in. And so if you're feeling challenged right now, that you have chosen not to give to your place of worship because of whatever is going on there, or it could even be the flip side. Oh, they have lots of money. They don't need my money. Well, the thing is, they might need your money. Well, they probably do, in the sense of, because maybe God has given them a dream and they are actually saving up those finances to do whatever the dream is, but you are impeding them. So this is where it really comes back to surrendering all things to the Lord with regards to finances, so that you can do what God is calling you to do. So jumping back in, very first thing, you get your paycheck, you tithe.
Right.
And then what? So that's 90% left.
That's right.
And so I get my groceries first. Because I have to eat.
You do have to eat. You have to eat, and you have to have some kind of a roof over your head. And you have to have some means of getting from home to work if you have a job.
Right.
You have to have those things. What that looks like, that's the part that I think we have kind of twisted and made it a need when it's really a want.
Okay. So I've done my...
Right.
10% to the Lord.
Right.
How do I go about spending that next 90% in order to get out of debt?
Right.
Because really, this is where the whole story started a few weeks ago. Is I want to get out of debt,
right,
whether it's a comma or a period. How do I, 90% now.
So for many of us, we are visual learners, and money has become very intangible here in North America. Most of us use a debit card exclusively. We don't even carry cash, or we use a credit card. So money has become, we don't actually even pay attention to how much we're spending, because literally people will say, well, I just spend until it's gone, until it says no to me, and then I stop spending. So if in order to get out of debt, we've already established where our money is going, and now we have to figure out how much do I need. So we have to have a budget. So how much do I need for groceries? How much do I need for gas? How much do I need to pay my rent or my mortgage? How much do you know? So you set a, that has to be in each little compartment. X number of dollars has to go in each one. So whether for you that would be an envelope system where on payday you take your money out and put so much in each envelope and you name those envelopes. If you've ever seen or heard of a show, Till Debt Do You Part, or Till Debt Do Us Part, sorry, she uses a jar system, so it makes it even more visual, and she labels the jars, and people have to work with the cash that's in the jar. In terms of this is goes to here, to here, to here. And if you spent all your gas money and you still have money in your grocery jar, then you have to make some choices in terms of what you're not going to buy if you still have to put gas in your car, for example. So separating your money and making little pockets can be very, very helpful. For me, I have several different bank accounts and I allocate on payday a certain sum of money to go in each one of those. Mm-hmm. And each one of those accounts is for a specific purpose. And that just helps me to stay on track and to make sure when I need those things that the funds are available for that purpose.
Right. And I would do something very similar too. So my paycheck comes in, mm-hmm. the tithe comes off first. And there have been times where I've sat in the gas station mm-hmm. and went, okay, I need to get gas, payday, okay. And I go into my online banking and I will tithe first mm-hmm. before I will put my gas in the car mm-hmm. first. So that's always the first thing. Tithe goes first. And then I have a couple different accounts. One, I always take out about $250, and that's for my groceries and gas and just the living of life, mm-hmm. general life. And then some money goes towards, I want to say, the car account. Mm-hmm. And that's not the saving up to buy a new car account, even though some money goes in. I do have an account that's the saving up to buy a new car, because in North America, cars break down. Mm-hmm. So you should be in your head thinking, I need to mm-hmm. save up for this. So I have a general, oh, the car has to run and that's not gas, that's the brakes might mm-hmm. go, or
oil changes,
like all that sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Or it could very well be, in Canada, we have changing of seasons. Mm-hmm. And so we do need to rotate our clothes. So it could very well be like, getting a new snowsuit mm-hmm. for that winter because the mm-hmm. last one is worn out. Well, that would come out of that special account or haircuts would come out of that special account. And then I have like a play account mm-hmm. or a vacation account mm-hmm. because it is good to get away. Mm-hmm. But it's good to get away not on debt.
Right.
So that's a totally mm-hmm. separate account. So there's this mindset of I want to be, and this is what we talked about, being prepared.
Yes.
So don't just like let that money come in there and go, oh, look at all this money I have. It's like, no, you need to actually, mm-hmm. when it comes in, sort it out into all these different places. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because as I said, you know, we need to eat, we need to drive, we need to live in somewhere. What's interesting is the mortgage payment is fixed. Mortgage payment's very fixed. Mm-hmm. It does not change. Things that change, though, are gas mm-hmm. and groceries. And I did a little bit of an experiment once when I was on a very fixed income. And I thought, well, let's try driving the speed limit. Mm-hmm. I saved a tank of gas a month mm-hmm. by driving the speed. A tank of gas a month by driving the speed limit. When you think, you know, a tank of gas could be anywhere between, depending on your size of car mm-hmm. and depending on how much it is, like $30 to $50 to $60 to $70. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, that gives me $30+ or mm-hmm. $60 to go and put somewhere else. And like groceries, because you might think, I just got paid, let's go get groceries. So you splurge, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than, oh no, I do have a mortgage payment and a car mm-hmm. payment, let's say. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, well, actually, maybe I won't buy the T-bone steak. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get tuna.
Right.
And I'm going to fix tuna in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. I'm going to love tuna. Mm-hmm. Or pasta, or you know, whatever it is, or I'm mm-hmm. going to learn to make things from scratch because it's so much cheaper. Right. I can save money. And that's just one of those things where it's like we often go for easy, mm-hmm. not for what's
right.
best.
Right. That's one thing. I mean, when you talk about, you know, going the speed limit and how that saved you a tank of gas, I would say think for yourself. How many times do you just hop in the car to run a particular errand mm-hmm. that perhaps you could actually do with these? Mm. Mm-hmm. And what would that look like? And that could potentially turn out to be a family outing, mm-hmm. right? To go
yes.
together, and it's healthy. And I'm just saying, I'm not saying that's true for everyone, but I'm asking you to think about that. And in terms of groceries, most of us will do one big shop, but I would ask you again to be honest and say, how much food have I thrown out? So, and if I'm throwing out food, then am I being a good steward of my money? No. And if I'm not, then how can I change that? Maybe it looks like instead of doing a big shop, that you're doing much smaller ones and actually finding some interesting ways of using up what you have in your fridge before you go out and buy something else. I don't know. I'm not saying that that's true for you, but I'm saying we can all make changes mm-hmm. to what it is that we're doing if we are willing and if we actually want to change, we can mm-hmm. make changes.
Yes. And I know my cousins, they have 6 kids, mm-hmm. and so their grocery bill can be quite mm-hmm. large. And the mom, my cousin, stays home. And you're thinking, how could you possibly stay home with 6 kids? Mm-hmm. And yet this is what, but they've chosen to do this. And how do they do this? They planted a garden. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting because you talk to my cousin and she's like, oh, we have enough red currants to get through, you know, the winter, and we can make jam and we can do this and da, da, da. And I'm like, and she's like, and potatoes, yet we had enough for seed potatoes. And I'm thinking, potatoes, like, I've been to her house, potatoes go by quickly, but they're, you know, when you think of corn, potatoes, carrots, mm-hmm. like all of these things that cost money, and yet she's choosing to grow them herself. Like, they have some trees for sap, and so they're like harvesting their own maple syrup. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, but I don't have time for this. And it's like, but we choose mm-hmm. what we spend our time mm-hmm. on. And so when that paycheck comes in and you give your tithe to the Lord, mm-hmm. and then it's at that point that it's like you start thinking, okay, what are the things that don't change? Like, maybe it's your mortgage payment or your credit card payment. Like, those things don't change. There's no wiggle room, and there could be wiggle room. I don't know.
Right. But I think I just want to take a step backwards, because we had actually ended last week's show by saying that we need to surrender
yes.
our finances to the Lord. So when we choose to give our tithe to the Lord, that is the first step towards surrendering mm-hmm. our finances to the Lord.
Yes.
And then asking Him to show us what are some of those other things that we should make changes on, and how freeing, you know, can that be for us as a family to actually be able to do the things that God has called us to. And part of that is training our children in the way that they should go mm-hmm. and showing them that there is a different way of doing finances, not as the world sees it, but as God sees it.
Okay. So thank you so much for joining us today. And we're going to do one more show. So you got to stay tuned for next week, because we're going to answer the question, how can I make my money work for me? Right? Because we've been trying to get out of this feeling of I'm working for my money. So now we're going to ask the question, how could I get my money working for me? So thank you so much for tuning in. May God bless you this week as you try to sort out your finances and tithing and putting this perspective together. Know that you are in our thoughts. May the Lord bless you this week. See you later.